Today I want to speak on the proof of the resurrection. In John 20, 1-8, we read, "The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the apostle John, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and John, and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and John outran Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then came Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then John went in also, and he was the first one that came to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." Now, the purpose of this text is not simply to affirm the fact of the resurrection, but to visually display it in the process. It's interesting that Matthew's account gives all the other miracles, but omits this one. He does not mention the Lord's resurrection, he does mention the Lord's resurrection, but leaves out this matter of the grave clothes. Now, when Jesus died and he cried on the cross, there was the tearing of the curtain, and there was an earthquake, opening of graves, and rising of saints in the graves. These were all the results of the cry of Christ on the cross. But this miracle of the grave clothes was not the result of that cry. And so, probably for this reason, Matthew omitted it. However, John described it in great detail. "Early Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene came and told Peter and John that she had gone to the tomb, and the body of Jesus was no longer there. She also announced her opinion that enemies had removed it and taken it away. The two hurried to the tomb. John outran Peter and arrived first. John bent over and looked into the tomb and saw the linen wraps lying there. Peter then arrived. He entered the tomb and saw the linen strips lying there, as well as the cloth that had been around Jesus' head, folded up and lying separate from the rest of the cloth. Then John entered, and notice his response in verse 8. He saw and believed. Now, they did not see the body, but the order of the grave clothes left a powerful message in itself. The sole purpose of these 8 verses of gospel history is to acquaint us with the exact arrangement of the grave clothes of Jesus. Such an emphasis shows us that it was extremely important. This scene caused John to believe. Now, we ask, believe what? That which Mary had said was true, that enemies had stolen the body? No. The arrangement of the clothes convinced John that what Mary had said was not true. Now, what was Peter's response? Well, back in Luke chapter 24, verse 12, we read, "Then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, And he departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter merely wondered to himself, but John, it says, believed at once. Again, what did both disciples see? Well, notice the last part of verse 6, and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin or cloth that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, prior to this time, remember the state of mind of both of these disciples. In verse 9, we read, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Now, none of the disciples had grasped the truth that after Jesus died, he would truly rise from the grave. Let's give some examples. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, we read in Luke 24, beginning with verse 15, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden," or in other words, they could not recognize him. "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk? And why are you sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that are come to pass in these last days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which went early to the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, which was Peter and John, went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not." And so these two disciples on the road of Emmaus didn't really believe that he had risen again. And then we have the 10 disciples in the upper room. And in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 41, we read, "And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here anything to eat? Now, Thomas was not in their midst at that particular time, so he did not believe what the other disciples said. But the next Sunday night, when Jesus appeared to them again, Thomas was with the disciples, and he saw he was with the disciples, and he He saw Jesus, and then he believed. However, we read that John saw the grave clothes there at the grave, and he believed. Now, why did he believe so quickly? Because what was there about the grave clothes and their order that caused him to believe? He saw the strips of linen lying there. That is, not simply lying on the floor of the tomb. If the body had been stolen, what would have taken place concerning the linen clothes? Remember, these were strips of cloth wound around his body and had not been removed from the body at all. If they had been removed, they would have been unwound and torn off and laid in a pile or scattered around. The thought of verse 6 is, however, the clothes were lying in the exact place where the body had been laid and still wound perfectly around him. Only the body was not inside. It probably had kind of caved down. But it was just like an empty cocoon, and a moth, or the cocoon of a moth or butterfly. And Elios had been, 100 pounds had been anointed, had been placed on this cloth. So it was probably, you know, not just real light and fluffy, but it was probably pretty matted. Now, there was nothing that had been undone or disturbed, or there was no change in the position. The cloth was like it had been when it was laid in the tomb. And then it says in Luke chapter 24, 12, remember, that the linen clothes laid by themselves, or in other words, by themselves, simply means the body was absent, no longer inside. If the grave clothes still contained the body of Christ, they would be lying in precisely the same position they were presently in. And they would have known, however, they knew that the body wasn't there because the cloth around his head had been taken off and there wasn't any head there on the rest of the cloth. The natural body had changed within its wrappings and had merged with the spiritual body in a transformation that no burial cloth could prevent. Now, there's something else in John 20, verse 7. And the napkin, or the cloth that was about his head, was not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, the napkin was lying separately from the other clothing, or cloth that was wrapped around him, and it was folded up. Now, that was significant. During Jesus' time, there was one way a carpenter let others know that his job was finished. A carpenter worked on a particular object, maybe a day or a week or however long it took, but when the task was completed, he would wash his face and hands, he would dry them with a towel, then he would fold the towel in half and then in half again, and set it on the finished work. And then when someone or the person it was made for came later to inspect or to check on the work and saw the folded towel on it, they understood its simple message. The work was finished. Christ's disciples, of course, knew this carpenter's tradition. When John followed Peter into the tomb, he saw the linen clothes lying, as we said, but he also saw the cloth that had been wrapped about his head, folded in half, and folded in half once again, lying by itself in the tomb. John understood this, its significance. The work was finished. Christ had completed what he had come to do. He had died for the sin of the world and had risen again as a living Savior. This was all a testimony to the presence and power of God. Jesus had said that he would rise again. Early in his ministry, he had gone into the temple and drove out all those who sold oxen and sheep and changed money and so forth. In John chapter 2, verses 16 to 22, we read, "And Jesus said unto them that sold doves as well as those other things, Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple being built, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Now the disciples remembered and believed, but John, he saw, remembered, and believed there at the tomb ahead of the others. The historical argument for the Lord's resurrection perfectly conforms to this visual evidence that John saw. Now, what is the historical argument? Well, one is the fact that Jesus had really died and had been buried. The Jews, the Romans, and the disciples all equally agreed upon this. And then also, all agreed that the third morning, his body was missing from the tomb. And all agreed that the disciples had not removed it, for it was physically impossible for them to have overpowered the Roman guards that were guarding the tomb and removed the body. But to John, who looked into the tomb and saw the presence and arrangement of the grave clothes, there was no question as to what had taken place to him. Jesus had risen from the dead in power and great glory. This was truly a Calvary miracle. Hadn't Jesus said that he came to give his life as a ransom for many? The grave clothes proved that that was true. Didn't he say that his blood would be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins? The grave clothes proved that that was true. Didn't he come to be made a curse for us? And again, the grave clothes proved that that was true. Didn't he say he would be one day resurrected? The grave clothes proved that was true. Jesus' physical body was the foundation of his resurrection body. His physical body was raised and changed into a resurrection body, and the remaining grave clothes proved that that was true. Now, this was an example of how it will be for us when we are raised at the rapture. In 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 54, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Or in other words, in a body that doesn't know any pain and all of that. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, a body that will not know any pain and suffering of any kind. And this mortal, having a body which dies, must put on immortality. In other words, it doesn't die. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The resurrection body, while still a genuine body, is not a fleshly body as we're used to. Yes, Jesus could walk around, he could show his nail prints and all that, but it was different. Is a body that knows no pain or suffering of any kind. And that's how it will have after the rapture. It will be a spiritual body. It is a real material body, but it will be conformed to what Christ's body was after he was risen. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we read, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. The grave clothes not only showed that Christ was truly risen from the grave, but also tells us what will one day happen to us when we are resurrected at the rapture. Every grave of a believer or casket of a believer will be empty, and every living believer, we will have our clothes lying wherever we were when the rapture takes place, but our body will be missing. Now, that doesn't mean we will be unclothed. We will be clothed with clothing that God gives us at the rapture. But just as Jesus rose from the grave, so when the rapture takes place, we will be resurrected. And we will have a body, a new body, just like his. And that is something to look forward to and to rejoice in the wonderful promise that we have. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus died for our sin and that he truly rose again and is a living Savior. And we thank you, Father, that just as he rose, one day when the rapture takes place, each of us who know Christ as our Savior will also be resurrected and have new glorified bodies. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful hope that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.